Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
It's the truth, is typically, you know, the folks that come on a Wednesday have a, let's just say that maybe they're a little bit more mature in the things of God, have a, they've got more under maybe more spiritual priorities sometimes in their life put together, where the things of God have taken the right place or are taking the right place. I don't mean that to infer otherwise on everyone who doesn't come, but I think that's a pretty fair assessment, having watched Wednesday night crowds for 30 years. And so I want to share some things with you that I'm going to share down the road a little bit with the whole church. It's not a secret, but I want your help. A couple areas. One, I want to spend just a little bit of time after I share this tonight praying together for the rest of the church. Nothing bad's happening. It's all good. But it requires change. And you all know as well as I do, everybody thinks they're all right with change until the change affects them. And it's not necessarily that we have an aversion to what's coming. It's just we don't like, you know, I don't know if you ever read the book, Who Moved My Cheese, but don't move my stuff, you know. And we're all creatures of habit. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you love the Lord. We tend to become creatures of habit. We do things that we like over and over and over, and it just becomes a part of our life. So I want to share with you, I've done this on the weekend, but I want to go in a little bit more depth with you tonight. We are literally, when I say shifting gears, that might be a good way of saying it. Where we're about to head as a church requires a different wineskin to accomplish the purpose. You don't put new wine into an old wineskin. The Bible said it'll burst. And what's important is what you're putting in the wineskin, not the wineskin. And yet, if you don't have the right apparatus, the right wineskin, you can lose the contents. And if you've been coming to this church for any length of time, you know that for probably the last 5 years, I've been bringing people in to minister their life messages, and we get them on DVD, and we write a workbook with them, and we're running classes on the weekend, and we're calling them connection groups, and they've been successful for the people that have taken them. But the percentages that we were hoping would integrate into those teachings has not happened. Now, I knew there was a risk to it because I hadn't found a church who'd ever done it the way we were. I'm not saying somebody hasn't, but I wanted someone who'd find somebody. Can't tell you how many pastors I talked to and said, how are you discipling people? It's the number one issue with pastors across America of concern is discipling people. Assuming you want to win the lost. How many of you know that's winning people to Jesus should be an assumption to a Christian? And yet, I wasn't satisfied with the way that was happening here. Now, people were being discipled, and there were percentages of people growing all along. But I wasn't, as a pastor, satisfied with the percentages. And I don't want to bring it down to raw numbers, but guys, when people don't grow spiritually, there's pain attached to that at some point. Eventually, there's going to be sorrow in their life that's completely avoidable. And you know, as a pastor, that's the last thing you want to see for the people you serve. There's enough suffering in the world and enough attacks that come to us in life that you don't have any control over, that you've got to fight through life and believe God and because there's an enemy. But, you know, self-imposed trouble, I'd like to avoid. How many of y'all like to miss some of that trouble? How many of you, like me, have found some of that self-imposed trouble? Anybody else here? Okay, well. So I spent probably the last 4 years, I've talked to, I can't even tell you how many pastors I've talked to about it. Talked to people not in pastoral ministry, trying to get a broader perspective as to how that issue was being solved and effective in the world we live in today. Now, it was a little simple 20, 25 years ago in church. How many of you used to go to church the last 20, 25 years? Raise your hand. See, that's the Wednesday night crowd, about 89% of you. That's what I'm saying. You're the group I need to talk to. But we used to go to church back then, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. How many of you remember those days? Well, you don't have to worry about getting people discipled. They were hearing the word three times a week. That's just in church. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you listen to CDs or back in the day tapes or downloads or MP whatever? How many of you do that? Raise your hand. All right. So if you're going to church and you're doing that and you're, you know, reading the word on your own, you're going to grow. But I came to find out that, you know, the culture we live in, that's not happening. It just, people don't make that a part of their habit. Life is, it's gotten busy, I should say, and you know, you can either say, well, it needs to change, or you can adapt and care about the people that are out there on those peripheral edges and try to help them. So I've talked to pastor after pastor. I've looked at every way people have done this under the sun, as it were, and I could find no peace about it. And when I say I've spent 4 years on this, I'm telling you 4 years of focus, of prayer, saying, Lord, what about this? And I was at a meeting a while back, a friend of mine at Allison Park, Assembly of God, I think it's just called Allison Park Church now. Pastor there is Jeff Leek, phenomenal church, and he's a phenomenal pastor. And he had a guy in that just was doing a leadership thing, and I'd known of the gentleman. I'd had a lot of regard for him from what I'd heard about him. So I went down, and our team went down, and I heard him share, and it was the first time I heard somebody share in such a way that it clicked off all the things for me in my heart. And then, you know, not to disparage him, but it's not a cynical thing. It's just sometimes, you know, people can evangelistically speak. You know what I mean by that? They kind of add more to it than what is. And he talked about the percentages of their people that were being helped in the regards that mattered to me. And, you know, I said, well, let's look into it. So we spent about 6 months and actually invested a significant amount of time, put one person on our staff. That was their whole job, to look into this and to scour through it, answer these questions. Let's go in. And we went in and we sat down with those people we had all of our questions. And we spent about 6 months at that. So I realized, okay, God, well, I've done all the due diligence. And I felt right about it from the beginning, but you know, you don't want to jump into something. You know, if you're going to turn a ship, and it's a big ship, you've got to turn it slowly, or things will fall over. And so you have to be wise and slow and deliberate. And so we spent a lot of time. We've been spending 6 months on this before I said a word to you about it, ever. Because I wanted to make sure that we had done our responsibility before the Lord. And it's real simple. It's part of it's the growth track you've seen. And I've talked to you about the four things that every church person, if you're a part of Victory and you want to be a spiritually growing person, there has to be four things present in your life to be a functioning part of this church. Doesn't mean you have to do them to come here. It means that if you're really going to be viable and growing and effective and proficient at your part in the kingdom, not just God's working in your own life, but in the broader context of the body of Christ, four simple things have to be in everyone's life. Number one, come to church on the weekend. You say, well, that's simple. Well, I got news for you. It's not. It's probably the average person in church today comes to church once every second or third week. And in statistics, the people that study church will tell you, those are what they call the committed part of your church. That's not a good sign. Would you agree? Now, I'm not being critical of anybody. I'm glad to come. But I also know that if people are not gathering themselves together, as the Word says, there's a price to pay for that. There'll be a deficit in their life. And God forbid that. What if that deficit shows up in their marriage? And what if that deficit shows up in their children? What if their kids go into darkness and it didn't have to be? Because I know this. A bad marriage or children that are hurting, I don't know if there's two worse pain to have, things to be pain to experience in your life than those two things. And not always, but most times that's avoidable pain. And so come to church on a weekend and come to church with the expectancy to see people saved, so invite people to church. on the weekends because we want to see people saved by the hundreds and hundreds and thousands. Amen? So you'll hear me say this over and over and over again. Come on the weekend and use it as a tool of witnessing. Bring people to church with you. Pretty simple. Number two, go through the growth track. 101, 201, 301, 401. 101 is literally our church membership. You come on a Sunday night. It's the first Sunday night of every month. Michelle and I will always teach that class. And it's a time when people can learn about Victory and they can become a member. They can apply right there that night. They'll learn what our mission is, our vision is, that this is where they fit. It's kind of a kick the tires meeting. Is this where I belong? And for those who are coming, it can be that finalizing and that clarity and that kind of, all right, you know, I need to go into the city, so to speak, so that I can spy out the city, see what's the intricacies here, so I can become a part of a committed part of a body, a local church. Every church person, every Christian should be a part of a local church. Now, however those churches define membership, whatever they do, a Christian without a church family operates like an orphan. And that's not good. So that's number one. That's simple. Number two, go through the growth track. 101, 201 is learning the essentials. 301 is when you discover your gifts. 401 is when you go to an orientation of all the ministries in our church. And this will happen every Sunday night forever now. First, second, third, fourth Sunday night. First Sunday night is 101. Second Sunday night, it's getting simple. Three, fourth Sunday night. And if you miss one, you just go to the next month. So what if Easter comes? And Easter is on 201 night. We won't do 201 that month. We'll go 101, skip 301, 401. The next month you can take 201. It's that simple. It's predictable. And I'm going to encourage everybody in this church, if you breathe and come here, go through the growth track. You say, well, I'm going to pray about it. Let me save you prayer time. Go. So I've been here all these years anyway. Ideally, I'd like everybody to go through it because I need you to be able to communicate it. If you aren't through it, and it's one Sunday night. I mean, we're not talking about coming every Sunday night for the rest of your life. We're talking about four Sunday nights, and you don't even have to do it in order. And just think of a Sunday night you don't want to cook. We'll feed you. And if you have little ones, bring your kids with you. And so go through the growth track, everybody. The third one, which is what I want to talk to you about tonight, which I'm going to need your help, is small groups. And then number four is serve, that is get involved somewhere in the church. Serve doing something that fits you. We're not going to ask you to just do something you're not good at. We're going to give you a process where you can discover what you are in the body and then do your very best to try to see where you fit. And if you don't fit there, then go do something else. I promise you, this is not the mafia. Once you're in, you can get out. Okay? So these four things are really, really simple. Okay? So we're talking about number one, come on a weekend. Number two, go through the growth track. Number three, be in a small group. Number four, serve somewhere in the church. Now, if someone will do that with any regularity in their life, and if they're growing spiritually, if they're putting the word in their life, no, they're not going to be perfect. Life is not going to be perfect. But they are going to be positioned well spiritually. You know, all of us have kids that do. Those of us who have kids, kids aren't perfect. Parenting isn't about perfecting our children. It's about positioning them well to navigate through life. I don't want my kids to ever have a problem, ever. I don't ever want them to have any weaknesses in their life, ever. But I know that's not real. So I can't solve their problems 20 years from now. And at some point in my life, they're going to live longer than me. I won't even be here. So you want to position them well. And so spiritually, it's my desire, it's a longing that I have, is that God's people are positioned well to navigate through life. And if I know these four things are present in their life, then they'll be positioned to do that. Doesn't mean the answers will be easy. Doesn't mean that everything will always fall into line the way we wished it would. It means that we know how to fight life through. Now let me talk to you tonight about small groups. Because this is a huge, huge change for me. I never gravitated toward them as a pastor, and I'll tell you why. Because I never saw it done in a way that I would go to one. Look, if I don't want to go to one, why would I want anyone else to go to one? In other words, here was the model that I saw that I did not think was going to be beneficial to produce these things in people. I didn't say they wouldn't do some good things. But what I found happening in much of the small group models was that you found a small group, and that was your group, and you went there 50 weeks out of the year, and you hung out with the same group of people, and you did certain Bible studies, you read a book together, and that was all fine and good. But what I found happening in that model was the people just became really good friends, which is nothing wrong with that. And it almost, the spiritual component became almost secondary. It really did, it ended up just kind of where they come together and end up just kind of hanging out. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not necessarily the full breadth of what I wanted that to do, to devote so much effort to it. And so yet I knew there was a value to it. And I'll tell you, probably about a year and a half ago, I was at Starbucks. And we had a group of our 19 Northers that were there. Y'all know what 19 Northers are? That's our 20-somethings ministry, right? So, and there were about 7 or 8 young guys at Starbucks. I come in, and so went on Route 228. 7 or 8 young guys sitting there, and I see them all with a book together, and they're just spending some time with this book, and they're talking about it, and they probably, I don't know, that I guess they met there once a week for about 4 or 5 weeks to go through a book. And I watched, they went to the church here. I just kind of watched these guys together and watched the dynamic of it. He said, were you spying on them completely? They saw me, I saw them, but I'm just staring at them, you know. And I began to, and I'm listening best I can, and I thought, that, we're missing that. That dynamic is missing. And I don't want it to be that way. And it's my job to lead in such a way to make whatever adjustments we need to make to create whatever wineskin we need to create to facilitate that kind of interaction with people. And yet I saw when they were done 52 weeks of the year or 50 weeks of the year with the same group of people, they would quickly lose that element, even though they make good friends. And then it was this as well, if you're a part of a small group, and you know, can we be honest about relationships? Not everybody's meant to be friends. Let me say it this way. The body is meant to have unity, not necessarily union. My elbow is connected to this part of my arm, whatever. What's this bone here? The ulnus, the radius and the ulna. The ulna? It's the ulna, right? Sounds like somebody's name. Anyway, these bones here have union. But my elbow will never have unity with the small of my back. If it does, something bad happened to me. So what I mean by to say is this. There's some people that just irritate you to be around. You just don't connect. And can you imagine you're part of a small group and you have to go to that thing for 50 weeks a year with somebody you can't tolerate? Well, you just don't want, just won't go. I wouldn't. After a while, you just think, you know, got to stay home. I don't know, just my back itch or something. Just, I don't want to go there. And so I wasn't satisfied with that. And then when I'd heard, years and years ago, talked about the concept I'm about to talk to you about tonight, and we actually investigated, did a little bit of it, but we never really gave ourselves over to it. But this one is real simple. It's a free market small group. What's that mean? Is that it is generated by the people, not the church. Now there are going to be some guide rails and guidelines where, you know, somebody can't come in and say, look, I want to teach Buddhism. That's not what we're doing, okay? There has to be an approval process. But what I didn't like about it was that there was this central figure or group dictating down a one-size-fits-all for everybody. And I knew that just didn't work. It wouldn't work for me. And I knew it didn't work for most people. Now, there'd be probably about 10, 15%, 20% that you do anything and they're going to go for it because they're committed Christians. They'll tolerate anything. Listen, you've been coming to this church for 20 years. You've tolerated a ton of stuff. You've seen more problems and and mistakes than anyone should have to tolerate. But you just keep coming because you love God more than I guess most could. I mean, you're just a faithful person. So I realize there's a percentage of people, they're going to be faithful and just go for it no matter what. But I also know this. There's a greater percentage of people that I just, Lord, I don't feel like we're getting our arms around them in an in-depth way to help them. And I just had my heart wasn't satisfied. So the small groups are real simple. All they're going to be is this. They're going to be free market, meaning this, that we're going to have a system whereby you, if you want to do a small group, there's a system whereby you can apply. There's a training for the small group leader. There are some guidelines, so to speak. This is going to be a huge promotional issue. We're going to be putting this out on a consistent basis. They run in three trimesters, three times a year. They'll run for their beginning and an end, and then they're over. So if you're with a group of people that you really connect to, then go on the next journey trimester and do something together. But let's say you did one and it's like, yeah, they were all right, but you know what? I just didn't have, you know, how many of you know when there are people that you like them, but an hour feels like 20. And then there are people you spend time with and an hour feels like 10 seconds. Well, certainly if that happens for you and you want to, two or three families, a couple say, let's go on the next journey together. But here's another thing I liked about it, is that it didn't start out on a high spiritual level for everybody. You can start a small group in this church if you like skydiving. You can do a skydiving small group. I'm not joining your small group. I ain't jumping out of no plane. And you say, well, will there be a prayer component to that one? You better believe, if you're jumping out, I'm telling you, that group will be doing some praying, but there can be a small group based, a running group, a cycling group. It can be a bowling group. I mean, you can do anything. And there'll be training for the leader. And what this is going to be able to afford to us is not just the capacity to get people together around either activities or the Word of God, but it's going to help us care for people. In the next 3 to 5 years, this church is going to quadruple. At a minimum. And so we don't want to I don't want this to be a place. People show up on a weekend and disappear. We want to know you. We want to be able to care for people. The small groups are going to help us with pastoral care. Thank God for the systems in place now. You know, if somebody, let me give you the hypothetical. Somebody's been in a small group and something's happening in their life. The church isn't informed about it, either through someone in the small group or they call us. We go into the system, we find out the whatever small groups they've been in, and we find out who they've been in the small groups with, and instead of some person that you don't know getting a hold of you, somebody you've been in a small group with will actually contact you, check on you, go pray for you, and be able to care for you and share with you, so that you're actually getting connected to people that know you. And so the endeavor is to make a very, very large church very, very intimate. And I've taken the time and we've done the due diligence. It works. And so that's why I'm making the commitment to do it, because it brings the value that we've prayed that it would bring, that I've been seeking for years. So, and yet right on the other side, you can do a small group on a study, on the subject of grace or the subject of faith or, whatever. It's as varied as there are people. There are things in you. Now, let me get to you, the Wednesday night crowd, and not just you, this is for everybody in our church, is that we need leaders to run these. So what would you like me to do? I don't want you to do what I like you to do. That's what I didn't like about these before. I want you to find a passion you have. And you may not want to lead a small group. That's okay. You may not feel led to do something like that. That's fine. But there are going to be many, many of you. And let me tell you this, through the last probably 3-4 years, hundreds of times people come up to me and say, Pastor John, I have X in my heart. Is there any way you could see that happening? And I'd have to say, well, actually, no, we can't really facilitate that because it would be impossible. But this now gives us the opportunity for, let's say you want to go on a missions trip to where? Guatemala. Well, you might do a 6-week small group preparing for learning about Guatemala, praying about what you're doing, preparing for what you're doing, and culminate it on a missions trip. You say, well, what do you mean by free market? If it doesn't survive, it dies. How many of you know if a restaurant opens and nobody eats, what do they do to the restaurant? Close it down. Now, I won't name the name of the restaurant. I forget the name of it. But I went to a restaurant that opened in Cranberry. This was probably 7-8 years ago. And I ate there one time and I thought, wow. This. I can eat just about anything. I shouldn't, but I could. Anyway, so... And I remember finishing the meal thinking to myself, this was the worst food I've ever eaten in my life. No, I mean ever. Anywhere, forever. And I thought, I don't think they're going to survive. And the free market kind of kicked in, and the restaurant lasted about 3 to 4 months because it was empty. Because whoever was cooking in the kitchen didn't have taste buds. So there will be a free market to this. So if something is thriving and people are going to it, it'll live. If not, it's run its course. Some of them, like financial peace, will run a lot of the time. Some of them will be here at the church. They'll be all over. Now, here's another problem that we have with being a regional church, is that most people can't make it back here on a Wednesday night. Well, if you just look at the zip code map who comes to this church, over 50% of this church, it's next to impossible to get here on Wednesday night if you work. It's just not, it's so impractical, they can't get here. And so just a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago or so, somebody came up to me and said that to me. He said, Pastor John, we'd love to be here on Wednesdays. We drive all the way from the south side. We'd love to be involved. And I said, you know what? Just hold tight. It won't be long. You're going to be able to be involved. There's going to be a way that we can do ministry right where you live. He said, really? I said, just keep your ear to the ground. I'll be talking about it. And so now, no matter where you live in this church, and people drive from 1 hour one side, 1 hour the other side. If those two families were going to go visit each other, that's a 2-hour drive one way. So, and now we know we've been called to this, but we want to facilitate it. So we're looking to have people like you who want, and for many of you, you'll be able to take spiritual subjects that are you're passionate about. And you'll be able to, and of course, we'll need to approve the curriculum, and there's a training process for the leaders, and it's not onerous or burdensome, but it's practical, and there's a whole system in place that will help facilitate this. And it will run well, and it will run efficiently, like everything else we do here, to the best of our capacity. But the cool thing of it is that each part gets to be the part they meant to be. I just could never buy in to me giving one message, disseminating it out to 30 or 40 or 50 small groups, and every one person doing the exact same thing. That's just not how life works. And my hope, and what other churches who have followed this model have seen, is that a lot of times people who will start in a running group or a cycling group or whatever group will connect to other Christians, and before long, one of the trimesters are taking a study of the book of Ephesians. Or whatever. And now there's a consistent connection and a consistent input of the Word in their life. And that's my hope. Now, the hope would be, and I would tell you that in the next 2 to 3 years, there'll probably be at a minimum of 300 or 400 of these running every trimester. Three, one, just go 3 a year. They'll have a beginning and they'll have an end. Now, it is going to necessitate us changing something, and this is the part I need your help with. It will change how we do Wednesday night. Now, this was a real struggle for me because I've been going to church Wednesday nights for 35 years. We are going to change the way we do church on Wednesday nights. We are going to do church only the first Wednesday night of every month from now on, we're going to run it through the end of this month. And the first Wednesday night of every month, we're calling First Wednesdays. And it's going to be a Spirit-led, celebratory-type service. And at that service is when we'll always receive communion. If we're going to baptize people, we can do it there. We can also do it on weekends. But those services are always going to be a celebratory-type time. The youth are going to do it as well. The children's ministry, it'll be one big celebration. The youth, just so you know, parents with students, the youth have already prepared to launch small groups the end of this month. And so your young people are going to be able to be in small groups no matter where they're at. And we're focusing right now just on the students who come Wednesday night. And then they're going to come when we launch this in the fall. They're going to come right alongside us. And then we'll have the major launch for the whole church. For the youth. But the youth, we know, I wanted them to have that ready to go right now. So your students coming on Wednesday night have a small group to connect to. All these details will flesh them out for you as time goes. But I wanted you to understand that starting the first Wednesday night of May will be our first Wednesday night. And it will be a time when fast forward a couple years with me. What we're going to encourage every small group leader to do is to encourage all their small group, the people in their small group, to attend the first Wednesday. And we'll have a great celebration together, and it'll be a blast. And we'll be in the presence of God, and we'll trust God to do what He desires to do in our midst. And so we'll encourage people to come to that first Wednesday. It's also an opportunity for us to be able to communicate very effectively. And the most important thing is to care for people. So that when people have needs in our church, there is a structure in place, whether we have a church of 2,000, 4,000, or 12,000. The structure will be in place to meet the intimate needs of the people in this church. Because guys, let me just make it as plain as I know how. I don't want a pulpit-driven church. That's not sustainable and it's not transferable most times. I don't want this church being driven by a personality or a person. And it's not today, but it's very easy when a church gets large that it all centers on a person. And happening behind a pulpit or on a platform. That's not the ideal for church. Now, there are some churches called to do that, and their pastors are uniquely gifted to do that. I'm not diminishing that. But I know that my role as the pastor is not to create a church that's centered on what happens just here. Because that's a one-generation church, typically. And so this is something that's going to cause the church to be able to have an integration throughout the region on a continuum. And, you know, one of the things I talked to the pastors about, I said, I want to do a small group with all of our pastors, and let's do a bowling league with our wives. That's just fun. Now, how many of you like to have fun? Okay, how many of you are alive? It's good to have fun. So some of the small groups you can do can be fun. It's a great thing to be able to do if your spouse doesn't really want to connect much to God. Do a small group with your spouse. It's fun. Or do something that they have an interest in. There's going to be small groups, I'm sure. There's going to be a bunch of small groups where you shoot stuff. I know that. People are going to say, well, I don't like guns. Don't go to that small group. Okay, you say, well, I want to do a small group on pacifist. It's free market. Go for it. It might not have a lot of people there. I don't know. But the reality of it is this, is that those four simple things are what you'll hear me say it so often to where you're able to say it and you're able to communicate it. So go to church on the weekends, use it as a tool to win people to Christ. Bring the lost with you. Secondly, is to go through the growth track. Is to go through the growth track and be able to 101 through 401. Get a part of a small group, and then serve. It's that simple. And so we'll be continuing our normal Wednesday nights throughout the month of April. Then after our first Wednesday night, which will be May, whatever that is, then there'll be no Wednesday night until the first Wednesday night in June. Then when we get to the fall, that's it. So you'll know the first Wednesday of every month, there'll be church, okay, here. And once the small groups get up and running, and thriving, then we'll use that actually as a tool to draw everyone together for a celebration time, and we'll have a blast together. So those are the changes that I need your help with. Now, here's what I've discovered, believe it or not, that the people who struggle with changing the Wednesday night format are not the people that come on Wednesday night. Surprisingly. No, I'm just telling you the truth. Here's what's happened in every church that I've talked to and the pastors. They said, here's what's going to happen. Your Wednesday night, and of course, there are going to be some people have to adjust, and just like I do. They said, but what you're going to find out, people who never come on Wednesday night are going to complain. You can't stop Wednesday nights. He said, when's the last time you came? 1918. And so I wanted you to be able to, I wanted to talk to you just to have some context and understand that the changes we're making are to facilitate an outcome to really help people to be able to develop and to grow spiritually. And for many of you, there are things in your heart that you've sat on for years. But this is going to be an opportunity for you to be able to get involved at a level of leadership and serving other people. And you say, would I have to do a small group every semester? No. You might only want to lead one small group a year and then attend one at two semesters. But I'm going to ask every person in this church to be a part of a small group, to make it a part of your spiritual life. Because we won't be having Wednesday nights, it's actually going to reduce the amount of time, and it will be convenient to where you live, and there'll be beginnings, and there'll be ends, and you can, it won't be long, you'll probably be able to find a small group within 20 minutes, probably 5 minutes from your house. They'll be in people's homes, they'll be in Panera Breads, we'll have, I'm sure people will be using the building some. They'll be everywhere. And so people are going to, they'll be as diverse as there are people in our church, okay? So we'll give you much more information about that, but I wanted to roll that out to you in this depth. And I'm not going to roll it out in this depth on a Sunday morning. It's just not an appropriate time to do it. But I'd like you to be able to begin to pray this out with me and pray this through with other people and talk it through with other people. But tonight I'd just like us to pray together and just spend a little time together praying not for this process, but for people. Because, guys, what I know in my heart, and let me close with this, and thank you for your patience, but I really need your help spiritually in this regard. You know, as a pastor, you long to see certain things happen. I mean, and when we started this church 20 years ago, what you're sitting in now and what we just built was as real to me the day we started this church as when we move into it. And I saw those things in my heart by the grace of God, and they've come to pass to the glory of God. God's faithful. But what I saw then, and what was, it was so real to me, what I want you to see from everything I just said is this. What I see in my heart in the next 4 years, which is as real to me as what was 20 years ago, seeing this, is that within the next 4 years, on a weekend, there'll be somewhere between 10 to 12,000 people in attendance in this church on a weekend. And there will be small groups, probably numbering close to 1,000. And they'll be everywhere. And if somebody in this church is hurting, we not only are going to know about it, there are going to be probably 15 to 20 people that know that person personally. And this church will be very large, yet very small. And we will have created an atmosphere, not where people are perfect, not where life doesn't throw you any curveballs. I don't mind curveballs. I don't like curveballs that don't bend and break and hit you in the head. If anybody knows baseball, you know what I mean by a curveball that doesn't break. You think it is and it pops you. Life can do that to you. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about an atmosphere where you can fight life through together with other people. When life is difficult, you don't have to hide. There are people that will believe with you and fight life through with you, trust God with you, not beat you up, not condemn you, but lift you up. And in my, here's the at the end of the story. I'm 52 years old. No one gets to live forever. No one in this church gave like they've given, prayed like they've given, served like they've given to watch this church be one generation. I know I didn't. And I know there are people in heaven right now who are a part of this church that did not sacrifice, serve, give, and pray in this church to see this go end in one generation. This is critical. That what I'm talking to you about right now is part of our transition to the future. So are you leaving? I'm not going anywhere that I know of. So I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about 15 years from now to 20 years from now. So that the transitions of this church will be seamless. And that this will go to the next generation and it won't contract, it will expand. That the next generation will take all that we've served and worked and prayed for and by the grace of God enjoyed, and they'll be able to take it and expand and be able to see God do something greater than any of us imagined. So what I'm talking to you about today is not just about the time of the present. This is about the next generation as well. And so it's critical. And I've spent a lot of time on this. And I'm asking, and I beg your indulgence, because I know you don't come to Wednesday night to necessarily hear this type of message, but it's critical. And this is about the whole body of Christ. And I really need your help. So would you just believe God with me? And let's just pray right now over the people in this church and over the vision of the future. Would you just let your heart agree with this as I pray? Father, I thank you for your great grace, your great mercy, your kindness. You are so faithful. I know you lead us and you guide us and you direct us. Thank you for your great faithfulness, Father. I'm so grateful for what you've done, but I know there's so much you desire to do. You are so good. And Lord, these things you've put in our heart, this direction you've given us, I thank you for it. And I thank you that you'll lead us as you have. And I thank you that you'll guide and direct the steps and the affairs that we take and the things that we give our attention and our affection to. And Lord, by faith, I thank you that in the next 3 to 4 years, this church will quadruple in number. And it won't be people from other churches, but it'll be lost people. People tonight that are hellbound, that without Christ, without God, and without hope in the world, but that will come to know you. And not just a matter of praying a sinner's prayer, but then they can get a hold of you and grow spiritually. They can connect to other believers. They can be cared for, and they can serve and fulfill the purpose in the broader context of the body of Christ. Not just themselves, but the broader context of why you called us to come together as the body of Christ. So Lord, we pray over those people. We pray over the people that are yet in darkness. Thank you for the privilege. And Lord, I thank you that we that sit in this room are so honored that we're going to get to observe a wonderful move of God, a wonderful move of the Spirit of God. Oh, Father, thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. I thank you for the marriages that will never, ever, ever dissolve. Broken ones put back together. Broken people put back together. Kids that would have gone headlong into darkness will run into the light. Teenagers by the thousands filling this room as it's converted to a youth center. Father, I thank you for that. And I thank you for the many, many gifts that are in the people in this room and outside of this room who are part of this church. And that, Lord, you'll guide them and direct them as they launch into different small groups that you put in their heart. And they'll lead in a way that some of them never dreamed they could, and many dreamed they could, but have never had the vehicle and the opportunity. And I thank you, Lord, for giving that liberty among us so that the people that you've invested so much can now care for others. We that have been trained in the Word of God can now put that into others because you love them as you love us. So, Lord, I thank you for that. And I ask you for the grace to bring this to pass throughout this church. Ask you to help it to be seamless. Give us the wisdom how to communicate. And bring great grace upon us. Lord, I trust you for great grace. Because we are human. We're so flawed as people. But your grace is sufficient. So I pray great grace to be upon us all. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Would you bow your heads one more moment? I want to make certain every one of us, I know it's a different service tonight, but I always want to be sure people know Jesus. If you're here tonight, you'd say, Pastor, I didn't come here necessarily for this, but I'm glad you guys care about people. But you might be here tonight and don't know Christ. With heads bowed, eyes closed, if you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, I'll pray for you, and I want to, right where you're seated, we'll all pray a prayer out loud and together with you. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you want to be included in a prayer to invite Christ in your heart, right where you're seated, would you simply raise your hand and I'll pray for you? Just want to make certain everybody here knows God. Praise God, I'll take it. Everybody knows Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.